How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com, here with Sam Jam Packard. I am sitting in my car recording this show from my Toyota Corolla because I still haven't quite made it back to Boston from training camp and a show needed to be recorded. So we've got some comments from Danny Ainge, who said that part of the reason why he moved the Brooklyn pick was because he felt he owed Al Horford and Gordon Hayward a responsibility to give them a chance, presumably at an NBA title. I've got some reactions to that. Then we're going to get to the mailbag. We got some funny questions. We've got some basketball questions. We've got a bunch of questions. So let's start with the Danny Ainge comments. Danny Ainge, I'll read the full quote first. I think that signing Al Horford and Gordon Hayward, I feel I had a responsibility to give them a chance. I think that Brooklyn pick, I think, can be very, very exciting. I think Cleveland could have a really good pick there, but it's probably going to be a big man that's 19 years old that probably needs a couple of years to develop and could develop into a franchise player. But Kyrie is a proven sure thing. A guy that's 25 and can really, really play right now. I think that's fair for Brad, and that's fair for Gordon and Al. And it will also give a chance for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and those guys to develop. So, where do we start? Well, okay, Danny Ainge. I can believe that he feels a responsibility to Al Horford and Gordon Hayward. I think he'd want this quote back if he could, because because Isaiah Thomas is the guy you really owed something to. Isaiah Thomas is the reason Al Horford's in Boston. He's the reason Gordon Hayward's in Boston. He played for 2 months, at least, that we know of, on a hip that is so bad he may not make it back until the All-Star break. He played in a playoff game the day after his little sister passed away. He carried the Celtics to the playoffs. He brought them to the Eastern Conference Finals. He is a huge reason they were able to fast forward through the rebuilding process and only miss the playoffs one time during the Brad Stevens era after they traded away Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. And so it's Isaiah Thomas who Ainge really owed something, not Gordon Hayward, who still hasn't played a single game for the team. And beyond that, I'm going on a rant here, but just let me speak. Danny Ainge doesn't feel a responsibility to players. If Danny Ainge felt a responsibility to players, he would have kept Paul Pierce up in a Boston Celtics uniform for the entirety of his career. If Danny Ainge felt a responsibility to players, Isaiah Thomas would still be on the Celtics. Danny Ainge cares about one thing, and that's winning a championship. And that's a respectable thing. And that's what's made him so good at his job. It's that he doesn't give a damn about sentimentality. He doesn't give a damn that Paul Pierce was with the Celtics for 15 years and did so much for the franchise. He didn't give a damn that Isaiah Thomas revived the franchise and was the perfect Celtic for as long as he was there and did all that recruiting. He didn't care because he thought the Kyrie Irving trade would give the Celtics a better chance at a championship. And that's the only reason he made the trade. And I don't believe him for a second that he felt a responsibility to Gordon Hayward and Al Horford. I think he wants that one back.
She was calling Danny Ainge a liar.
Got to have some hot takes at the beginning of the show, man.
I agree. He's 100% a liar. And it feels like just something he said because he was sick of, like, he didn't have, sick of just explaining, like, yeah, I thought this was the best thing we're going to do to win a championship. And what he really means by Gordon Hayward and Al Horford is, like, what he owes it to them is just, like, he only owes them anything because they're under contract for the next 3 years, and they're probably going to be around. But I absolutely agree with you. It's just the idea of Danny Ainge doing anything out of his feelings for the players just doesn't ring true to the Danny Ainge that we know and love. The reason we like Celtics fans enjoy Danny Ainge is because he can be so cold and calculated, and the fact that he did it to just because he owed Al Horford and Gore Hayward. I'm sure they're nice guys. I'm sure they want a championship as well, but that's not Danny Ainge's motive. It's like, if he would have done that, he would have like poured all his future assets into trying to get more people for this year. Like, he still got back a Lakers pick when trading Jason Tatum. There's a number of different things he's doing. He's still always thinking about the future. So there's no like win now mentality that he's just doing for Horford and Hayward. It just felt like he was ran out of things to say, which I understand. Happens to me all the time. Oftentimes on this podcast, I just don't know what to say, but I keep talking.
Yeah. Danny Ainge told Red Auerbach he should trade Larry Bird and Kevin McHale before those guys were done with their run with the Celtics. Like, that, he's as cold-blooded as it gets, as rational as it gets. There is no chance he was sitting there thinking, you know what? Al Horford and Gordon Hayward were really good to us by signing with us as free agents. I don't think this is the right deal, but I have to sacrifice the Brooklyn pick for them. There's just no chance. Absolutely no chance. Let's get to the question, Sam.
All right. Starting off with the hashtag reigning Jays questions. Smart, Rozier, Brown, Tatum. Out of those four, who will play a combined over 100 minutes a game as a role, guys? Well, this Nick Graham at NI Graham 1. You got to better phrase this question. But I think the gist of the question is, who do you think is going to get the most playing time out of those four guys? Presumably the 4 through 7th best guys on your roster: Smart, Rozier, Brown, and Jason Tatum. And then a follow-up question to that is, how many of those four shoot over 35% from three?
Maybe none of them?
I don't think any of them. I think if anyone has a chance, it's Jaylen Brown. Maybe Jason Tatum, just because he's got that sweet shooting stroke that people like to talk about, but I haven't seen it. Definitely not Marcus Smart.
Yeah,
I don't think I can give rational takes about Tito Rozier at this point, but who do you think plays the most out of those four?
Smart.
Rank them. Rank them in terms of playing time.
Smart 1, Brown 2, Tatum 3, and Brown and Tatum will be close, and then Rozier 4, I would say. But not like a totally distant fourth. They'll all be key parts. And I think the point of this question is probably to point out that the Celtics don't have a lot of shooters among their role players, and that their second unit could be filled with guys who shoot less than league average from three. And that's something that could be an issue. You know, obviously Kyrie Irving can shoot the ball, and Al Horford can shoot the ball, and Gordon Hayward can shoot the ball. But you go from Jay Crowder, who shot 40%, to, you know, Jaylen Brown, maybe, or Jason Tatum, who neither of whom are proven. And you go from Avery Bradley, who shot just about 40% from three, to Marcus Smart, who, and Terry Rozier, who were among the worst three-point shooters in the league last season, And I do think Terry Rozier.
Yeah, for the playoffs.
And I do think
Terry could shoot.
Yep. I do think Terry Rozier has a better stroke than that. And I do think there's a chance Marcus Smart improves at least a little bit with better shot selection. And a year of getting a summer of getting skinny under his belt. But of the problems on this team, I think that's one of the biggest, right? That the guys you rely on for spacing, you just don't have that anymore. You know, like in the old days, and by the old days, I mean last year, like when Brad Stevens would be mad that the Celtics weren't playing good offense, at halftime, let's say, he would throw in Kelly Olynyk because Kelly Olynyk's a seven-footer who would stretch out the defense, and next to Horford, you would have a ton of space. Who does he do that with this year? Marcus Morris has been a pretty good shooter, but I don't think he's that big a threat that Olynyk was. Nobody's as big a threat as Crowder and Avery Bradley became. So unless Brown, Tatum, Rozier, or Smart take you know leaps to become better than league average from three, that's going to be a bit of an issue for this team. And they'll make up for it with athleticism and more dynamic playmaking. And obviously they'll have three legitimate all-star type players. But you still need shooting from the other guys, and that's not really something that they have a lot of right now.
How much do you think the success of the Celtics' three-point shooting in previous years is a product of opportunity, or how much do you think a product of just talent? Because I think it was your mainest man, Timmy Bontemps, was saying on a different podcast about he doesn't think that Jay Crowder was as good a shooter as like the numbers would indicate, and he was more of a product of the Brad Stevens system. Now, I didn't really disagree, or I didn't really agree with that take, but it made me think about things, and just in this Celtics offense of what I'm imagining, I feel like there's going to be so much attention paid to Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving, specifically pick and rolls between the two of them, pick and rolls with Al Horford, that the weak side corner, whoever is playing in that corner, and I'm presuming that it's going to be a lot of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they're going to have a lot of open threes, and they may be able to shoot just way better percentages than you would expect, just because so much attention will be paid to other guys that they should have open looks. And maybe that's just kind of wishful thinking in that, but normally open shots are easier to make than contested shots. That's what I found when watching basketball.
Absolutely, and that's part of it. But like two seasons ago, Crowder was playing in the Celtics system, shot 33.6%. And so I think, and he
whoa,
had,
whoa, whoa. Are you looking at Basketball Reference right now? Like, how did you pull up 33.6% like that?
I remembered that one.
That's weird. And that's a professional, guys. That's a professional.
And then last year, he shot just about 40%. So, I mean, you have to give him some of that credit at least. And obviously, Al Horford makes a difference. And Isaiah Thomas taking a step to the next level takes a difference. But he had almost as many three-point attempts two seasons ago and shot, you know, 33.6%. Last year, it was just about 40%. So,
okay, but let's not focus on the Jay Crowder part of it. Just think about the opportunities that Celtics players not named Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, or Al Horford are going to get, the open shots they're going to get because there's so much attention to these two great playmakers and shooters.
Absolutely, and you think back, the perfect example of it was Game 7 against the Washington Wizards, right? Kelly Olynyk, fourth quarter, wide open, time after time. All Isaiah Thomas had to do was turn around, find the wide open white dude with long hair at the three-point arc, and that's how the Celtics won, and that's how they pulled away. But now those shots go to guys who aren't as quality shooters as Kelly Olynyk. You know, Marcus Morris, can he take that step being open? And maybe it will help him being in the offense, but how much does it help him? And Marcus Smart, like, he's been in Brad Stevens' system. Terry Rozier, he's been in Brad Stevens' system. Jaylen Brown, he was in Brad Stevens' system. Like, all the guys that he's talking about, for the most part, they were in Brad Stevens' system and still didn't knock down shots. So maybe playing different roles will help those guys. Maybe playing with, you know, an extra star with Gordon Hayward will help those guys. But it's an issue, man. And it's not a huge issue. They still have a lot of skill. They're still going to score a ton of points because they have three really good offensive players, but it's definitely like one of the things you look at the team, that's a potential minus unless a couple of those guys at least emerge.
This is not someone a reigning Jay question, but just something I've been thinking about is how much do you think just depth on this team is an issue? Not just like an inability to score, but they only have two bigs on the roster, maybe two and a half if you count Marcus Morris. All of those guys are kind of unproven full term. I guess Marcus Smart would be the most just guy you can kind of rely on, but this team, the Celtics have gone from a team that was kind of nine deep of solid players to, I would say it's like six solid players and then some question marks. Some guys with some good potential who, if they have like a very good year, you can see them playing well, but there's a lot more questions about that depth. Is that going to be an issue, or is that just the star power going to kind of carry them forward?
I think you have at least seven solid players, right? I'm including Jaylen Brown in that. I'm including Marcus Smart in that, obviously. And then Aaron Baines would be the other one who might play on the bench. So that's at least seven. Then Tatum.
I don't know. Do we know that Jaylen Brown is going to, like, take the step forward? I feel like there's nothing to indicate that he won't, but he's still a second-year player who made a lot of mistakes in his first year. He has all the potential in the world, but it's just, like, I feel like Celtics fans are projecting a lot of growth from Jaylen Brown and a lot of minutes from him where he did not actually, like, in terms of on-court production, do that much last year.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that, but I think he was solid enough in his minutes that with another year of growth in a similar type of role, I think you can expect him to be at least okay. And like, if we're saying solid NBA, like, he's an NBA player. Very obviously, he's an NBA rotation player. So if we're talking about the depth, he's definitely a guy you put in there. I think Tatum will probably be that. But obviously, a 19-year-old rookie, you never know how impactful he'll be. And rookies, a lot of the time, even the ones who are super talented, even the ones who show so many flashes of what they're going to become, often don't make a huge impact. Even like Jaylen Brown last year, a lot of people were really excited with him throughout the season. Like you said, he made a lot of mistakes. He wasn't always a positive factor for the Celtics. I don't know how much they'll be out of Tatum. Their bench, they have a lot of question marks. They have a lot of potential too. It's all like, what does that group of young, fast, athletic, skilled dudes morph into? And can they score points? I think they'll be able to score points because I think Brad will probably stagger Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. And if you put Gordon Hayward with like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and Aaron Baines or throw Terry Rozier in there, whatever, like you're probably going to score some points. You've got enough skill there, enough athleticism there that you'll probably put the ball in the basket a little bit. But yeah, I think especially if you see a front court injury.
Oh, yeah.
Especially early in the season before some of these guys get a chance to kind of adapt to the NBA. Like, I think it would be very beneficial for the Celtics if one or two of the Yabusele, Tice, Ojale trio becomes playable or solid right away. And I don't know who will be that guy, if anyone of those guys will be playable or like respectable rotation players from day one, we'll see. But it would be very, very beneficial to them because they don't have any 7-footers. They have two dudes who are 6'10", and one of those is Al Horford, who's not very physical. And they have like a bunch of wings who are going to have to play minutes at the four. And so it'd be nice to have one of those bigger guys step up and be worthy of minutes right away.
Those three dudes, Tice, Semi, and Yabu, should be in like rebounding camp or just like doing rebounding, boxing out drills their entire time in Newport, because they're going to need someone to step up just with some size. Because you're right, if there's an injury in the front court, I really see it being a problem, especially on the defensive glass. We've seen the Celtics haven't really been a good rebounding team in the Brad Stevens era, if I can remember correctly. And so I just see like teams with large front courts, even just a team like the Bucks or the Cavs, like kind of the elite of the Eastern Conference. The Celtics really haven't had an answer for the offensive rebounding of Tristan Thompson ever, and the Bucks are just like a super long team with some decent size with Greg Monroe. And
did you just put the Bucks in the elite of the Eastern Conference?
I think they're the third best team in the East.
Oh boy! All right.
I was just thinking of teams that could with size that could give the Celtics some trouble, if there are one in general and two if there happens to be an injury. I think they're a tier below the Celtics and Cavs, but I think they're right up there with the Wizards, Raptors, and I think the Wizards, Raptors, and Bucks are like that next tier down.
Okay. All right.
I believe in Giannis. What you say? Okay, but you clearly have a different opinion.
One of these years, I think they're going to take the leap. I think Giannis will be an MVP candidate for the next 10 years. You know, so yeah, the Bucks at some point, because he's so good, are going to be a force. I don't know when that will be because everybody else around him is pretty young, and they weren't particularly good last year. But we'll see. They got closer toward the end of last year. And Brogdon was a nice pickup, so we'll see.
Full year of Chris Middleton, got some Taj Gibson in there for some reason.
That's another thing. Like, what is Jabari Parker like when he comes back? Two ACLs now. We'll see.
Who knows? Maybe he'll get better. Let's see. This is from Ben Gates. Do you think Marcus Smart has the potential to be the most improved player this season in all of the NBA?
Everybody's tweeting me about Marcus Smart, most improved player. I don't see it happening. It could. Usually, I hate the most improved player award. I think it's the stupidest award because it usually goes to a young player who is supposed to improve, who everybody expects to improve, that takes the leap from like good to really good all-star. And it's just so stupid. So I would like to see that, like an age limit on that award. So you'd have to give it to someone who improved later in his career. Like throw it to Isaiah Thomas. Like he's a guy not everybody anticipated would be averaging 29 points a game. But yeah, Marcus Smart, he could. I have to see him what he looks like as skinny Marcus Smart though. I still haven't seen it. I still haven't seen what he's going to do. He hasn't, offensively, he hasn't made too many strides. Like, he's become a better pick-and-roll playmaker, but he hasn't made any strides finishing the ball inside or outside. He needs to do that, and he would need to do a lot of it to become most improved.
The only way he's going to win that award is if he ends up shooting, like, 38% from three and ends up, like, with it. He needs at least, like, 18 points per game, and I just don't expect that from Marcus Smart. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The award's very dumb. It's like the CJ McCollum where he goes from coming off the bench and then starting. It's like, oh, when you give CJ McCollum 35 minutes a game, he scores a lot of points. Well, he didn't really improve. He just got more like a better opportunity. I think Marcus Smart has zero chance of winning the Most Improved Player Award, and I love Marcus Smart. I love slim Marcus Smart. I even love fat Marcus Smart, but I just don't think that he is going to win. Put up just like it feels like a statistical award, and he's just not a guy who's known for putting up large like volume counting stats. So,
but skinny, no chance. Skinny Marcus Smart might be. Skinny Marcus Smart might be 30, 10, and 12.
Slim Marcus, who knows? Who knows? All right, the last reigning Jays question we have before we get to the reigning junk is from at the Carbonite Kid. I think it's one of our fans from Australia. If we end up with the Kings pick in 2019, do you think the new lottery reform helps or hinders the chances of the Celtics getting a high pick?
Helps, because it's not probably going to be one of the top three. The Kings and or 76ers are not going to be one of the three worst teams, so the odds are helped everywhere else. It could help that pick. It could help the Grizzlies pick that year, because they're in danger of like, I don't know if they'll actually trade Gasol or Conley, but those guys are kind of expensive, and that team's not going anywhere in the West. So, grit and grind is done. Long live the grit and grind era, man. I love those guys.
Well, they're going to be pretty bad in the West this year. The West is like, I just don't see how the Grizzlies have any chance of making the playoffs. So, if you're a Celtics future draft pick fan, as many Celtics fans are, you got to root for them to the Grizzlies to blow it up. But right. I think the Kings, with all their young players and De'Aaron Fox, they are the Kings, so who knows? They could end up being the worst team in the league that year, but logic points to them not being a top three team. So I would say the lottery reform is good for the Celtics, but who knows? We'll find out in 2019.
Yep. Yes, we will. Now to the rain and junk, baby.
Down to the fun stuff. All right. This is from our co-host, John Corrales. What did Jay King accomplish to land himself on the 50 peso note?
Yo, that kind of freaked me out because someone tweeted me the 50 peso note yesterday. And no lie, the dude on it, I don't know who it is, but he actually looks like me. Like, he really does. I'm looking at it right now in TweetDeck, and it looks like me. And most of the time, someone says you resemble someone and you don't see it in yourself because you see yourself all the time and it's not close enough. That dude on the 50 peso note, he's
you, man.
He's the kid, man.
I'm looking it up. I'm trying to figure out who this guy is because maybe you're related to him. Maybe you have long lost Mexican ancestry because this is kind of – it's freaky. It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Yeah.
A quick internet search I could not figure out. Oh, hold on. Nope, still don't have it. All right, moving on to the next question. This one might be better for you because I'm not one of those sneakerheads, but do you have a favorite retro Jordan?
Nah, man. The most I've spent on sneakers in the last 10 years is $35 when I was at the Nike outlet in L.A., and it was right across the street from my hotel in L.A. last year during the Celtics season. That's probably the only time I've bought sneakers in the last 10 years. If anyone has seen me, you know I never spend money on footwear. I'm like a what are those campaign all the time. So I don't have a favorite retro Jordan. Give me a comfortable pair of Nikes.
I feel like you rock Asics. Under Armour. I feel like you're a big Asics guy.
I'm not a grandfather yet, man.
Yeah, I've never owned a pair of Jordans in my life. The first time I bought basketball shoes ever was last year just to buy some Isaiahs, but that's about it. So I'm sorry to @onecrazyseek. We couldn't help you out there.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, bro.
@PatrickS1591, better wrestling tag team, Shemmy and Yabu versus Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart.
No, Smart and Baines, right?
I'm just reading what I'm seeing. I see it says Morris and Smart.
Oh, we got tag team wrestling and we got bodyguard duos. We got it all right now.
People want to. Oh, I didn't see that one. Yeah. People want to know about the Strong Boys. It's
yeah,
like they got a lot of thick brothers on the bench. Who do you think is the best duo?
Okay. Let's take these two, combine them, and make the best tag team you could make on the Celtics. And there's a lot of muscular dudes on this year's team. A lot of strong dudes. I'm going with I feel bad saying this. I don't think you can have skinny Marcus Smart on there.
Nope. Cannot. It's about having thick dudes, man.
I don't think you can have skinny Marcus Smart. Like chunky Marcus Smart. I'm all on board. I couldn't take him out. I haven't seen skinny Marcus Smart do that. I don't know if he's 100% about that life anymore. I'm going, got to be Yabu. Yabu is just an oversized, like.
He's a huge man.
He is enormous. That is like, and he's not at all out of shape. He's in great shape, just a bowling balls for shoulders. Yabu, number one. I think Baines, man. Baines is my other guy. Baines is just a tough Australian bastard. Going with Baines.
He's got that living on a boat strength, like that toughness.
Yeah. I mean, the dude swam with sharks this summer. He swam with sharks.
I mean, you can't go wrong with Baines. He's got a weird haircut, too, that always helps with some flair. Semi's just also a giant human being as well, but I don't know if how mean he is. Like, he's just seems like a nice guy, nice individual, but I don't know if I can trust him in my tag team partner, so I'm going to have to agree with you. Yabu and Baines. If you guys got any names.
But, Skinny Marcus Smart has a chance to earn his way back onto that. I have to be able to change that if Skinny Marcus Smart is still just as strong as he claims.
Well, it's interesting because you just said you don't know if Skinny Marcus Smart's about that life anymore. From Ben Hammond, who on the team is most about that life?
Probably the dude who's in a trial right now instead of at training camp. Marcus Morris.
Allegedly about that life.
They got a lot of tough dudes, man. A lot of tough dudes. Marcus Morris, we could have put him on that tag team as well. Marcus Smart, he's still the most about that life. That is an about that life dude.
That's what the whole about that life thing started with Marcus Smart. Yeah. I don't see how it could even be anyone else.
Yeah. I asked him straight up if he was about that life, and he told me he was about that life. So.
He looked me straight in my eyes and said, "Yes, sir, Jay King, I am about that life."
Yeah.
Yep. All right, from Connor Sharp. What Celtic do you think is best at sports other than basketball?
Ooh, this is a good one.
For tennis, it's obviously Gordon Hayward, because he grew up playing tennis, was going to be a tennis star. But, like, let's choose some other sport. Who do you think would be the best?
They got a lot of football players, man.
They got a lot of huge dudes. So let's not do football. Let's do who do you think the best baseball player would be?
Horford's got the Dominican Republic thing.
That's true. He was going to play baseball growing up. I'm pretty sure his mom wanted him to play baseball.
Yeah.
I remember hearing stories about that. He's good friends with Big Poppy.
So that automatically makes him a good baseball player.
Just going basic, like simple, just narrowing someone down to their country of origin. He is Dominican, so.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll go Al Horford probably hitting bombs.
I've seen no other indication of any other Celtics player that for like a reason why they would be good at baseball.
Okay, who would be the best quarterback? I think Terry Rozier.
He's too small, man.
He's like 6'3"?
I guess so. Football players are so much shorter than basketball players, but you don't really think about that. But you're right. The average quarterback's like 6'2 to 6'4". So
and he'd be a freak.
Really
he'd be a freak. I think I got Tito.
He is the most athletic and the quickest. I don't know if he can throw. Maybe Kyrie. Maybe Kyrie could do some things, some running. I don't know. Kyrie might be a good running back too, but he's kind of small. I don't know. Who do you think is like the best field general or the best like vision?
But basically any sport, Marcus Smart, I feel like he's always the answer, man. Like I've said this before, even though he's skinny now, I just like he's such a competitive prick. Like he'd be a quarterback. He'd be like the Tim Tebow type. Like he couldn't even throw a complete pass, and his team would win the national championship. Like, and he'd get picked in the first round, and then he still couldn't throw a complete pass, but he'd turn around a season and win a playoff game. That would be Marcus Smart. So I have a tough time picking against Marcus Smart in basically any sport.
I mean, I can't argue with that there. He's just a tough son of a bitch who loves winning. He impacts winning, some would say. All right, we're going to wrap this up with from Jeff Morris. He's basically asking the question again. He asked a couple weeks ago. He wanted to have the current Celtics cast.
Hold on. Aaron Baines, top rugby player. He didn't even play hoops until he was like 16 because he was just playing rugby.
That's fair. I don't really count rugby as a sport.
Come on, man. Rugby, if you're getting tackled with no pads on, that's a goddamn sport.
Yeah, but all the dudes I went to college with who played rugby were, like, kind of weird. So I just had some weird feelings about the rugby players.
This isn't American college rugby. This is Australian rugby, bro. This is a little bit different.
That's fair. I mean, I'm not going to challenge the toughness of Aaron Baines in a combat sport. So
okay, cool. Just had to throw that in there.
All right. I'm glad you remembered that. Last one. Wanted to know about the current Celtics roster as characters from The Wire. Now, we haven't prepared for this one, so it's going to be tough. But off the
haven't
top
we
of
done
head,
this before?
Yeah, but we did it with a completely different roster.
This is true. No, I need to prepare for this one. I need to have a little bit of time to think about this one. He said, though, if we can't do the whole roster, what about Tito Three Sticks? Who would he be? So we'll start with that, and then next time we do a mailbag together, we'll prepare for the Wire question.
That sounds good. My immediate reaction would be Bodhi.
Yeah,
just a soldier.
That was mine too.
I can't really think of him. Like, he definitely wouldn't be a member of the police. Like, he's definitely a member of the street. And Bodhi just is the one that sticks out most to me.
What about Carver?
Man, fuck Carver.
But Carver was like he did some really stupid shit when he was younger, and then he kind of grew up into like a respectable cop.
That's fair. I feel like Bodhi is following the same track, but Carver's a good alternative. I'm trying to think of like later season, maybe if he was one of the kids in season 4. Not Michael Lee, and all the other kids are trash. I think we'll have to revisit this one when we do the full roster, because I need some time to really unpack this and give it my full Wire analysis.
Yeah, I agree. Well, yeah. Carver, I still think Bodhi. But I also feel like we're saying Bodhi just because he has kind of that boyish face. Like, that's the reason I first thought of Bodhi. Like, just the boyish face. I don't know if, like, they actually have too many similarities.
You know what? You're right. you challenged me on the subject, and I've got no retort. So I think that's the perfect place to wrap this up, because I'm sick of sounding like an idiot.
And God damn it, Danny Ainge, you didn't really owe Horford and Hayward. Or you didn't really feel like you owed Horford and Hayward, even if you do owe them.
That's the keys to take from this podcast: is Danny Ainge is a liar. Slim Marcus can do anything, and he is still about that life. And Aaron Baines is a damn good rugby player, and I would not want to see him on a boat or anywhere else if he wanted me to do me harm.
That's where to end. Anybody who wants to subscribe to us because we are talk about so many useful things, search for Locked On Celtics. Anywhere you get your podcasts, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Spotify, bitches, anywhere else, subscribe to us, give us a 5-star rating, all that jazz. That's it for this episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.